Jalen Ramsey was number one on many people's draft boards. Miles Jack was number one on many people's draft boards, if not for the injury. And Jacksonville has gotten them both.
Mangum rolling. Throwing. Picked off. Miles Jack.
That guy can be your star like Luke Kuechly is in Carolina. He can upgrade the whole defense. Kuechly was the best linebacker I've ever graded in coverage.
Really?
Until I graded Miles Jack. Miles Jack is a spectacular coverage linebacker. He's not just good or solid. He is elite.
Just because this team had a top five pick doesn't mean they're a losing team. They had a losing year, that's all. I can't wait for this team to get back to the top, and I want to be one of the guys helping do that.
That's enough.
I'm just so excited, man.
He's a special athlete. This kid is just, if all the tape I've watched, this is a different cat.
Well, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Tony Smith.
Every time, it gets me every time to steal the show. It doesn't matter how many times I've heard it, it still makes me laugh every time I hear that lady talking about her
Tony,
beach house.
Tony, you have to promise, if you see her out at OTAs, you grab her and she gets front row seats on Jaguars Today. She'll bump off any guest, even Ryan O'Halloran.
Oh, yeah.
Even Telvin, actually, no, we're not going to bump Telvin for the steal the show lady, but if you see her,
we'll get them both
on
at the same time.
Oh, that'd be great.
We'll get them both, and she can just ask Telvin questions about stealing the show for this Jaguars team. No, it's awesome. I love that open every time, talking about these young players for this Jacksonville team, and today's it, guys. Today's it, Jacksonville. It's your first opportunity to see these guys on the field. Heck, for a lot of these coaches, it's their first opportunity to really coach Miles Jack out there on a football field. And you can feel the excitement out here for Miles as he was walking out. As I mentioned, a fan was saying, steal the draft, steal the draft. And Miles looked over with that smile and wave as the steal of the draft as he walked onto the field for the first time. And it's kind of cool for him. He gets to do it for the first time as a member of the Jaguars in front of a crowd like this and a group of fans that are so excited about an offseason that has been filled with so much promise. That's not a new story for Jacksonville. It's not a new story for the Jaguars where they feel really good about where they are in an offseason. There's a lot of NFL teams that can say that, but it does feel different this year in Jacksonville. It does feel like a team that underachieved last year. And Mike and I have talked about this a lot. They won five games last year. We both look at it as a team that should have won seven, maybe should have won eight, really been competing for that division, and the improvements they've made, especially on the defensive side of the ball, what kind of dividends will they pay? We're not sure yet, and obviously none of those questions will be definitively answered out here at a mandatory minicamp, but it is our first opportunity to really get eyes on it, for the fans to get eyes on it, for the media to really talk about everything that's going on at practice as they're out doing some special teams work right now with all the guys on the field. But it is here. It is mandatory minicamp. It's your opportunity to come see your Jaguars for the first time in the 2016 season. They got 2 days of it out here today and tomorrow. Then they'll close up shop after Thursday, and we'll see them again in training camp. Mike and I will be live out here from training camp every day that it's open to the public, as we are today and tomorrow, with it being open to the public today and tomorrow for mini camp. So if you're out here and you're listening or you're on your way in, come on over, say hello. We're at the entrance, basically, where all the players come in. We're kind of inside the ropes here a little bit. Our setup is slightly different than it was last year. We're in the exact same spot that we were last year, Tyler. But the key difference is they got these big cranes that they set up with all these people so they can go up on the high tops and they can see practice from above and record it so the coaches can evaluate the practice afterwards, right? Which is important. I'm not saying that I'm more important than the guy in the tower. I am saying that they moved the tower so it's directly in my way.
Now, what if they moved you up into the tower and you broadcasted live from like an Eagles point of view?
I have no desire to go up in that tower. Have you seen this thing? No. No, no, no. I don't even know what they pay that guy to do this, but it's not enough. He has to, like, strap himself in with a rope. I have no desire to be where that guy is, but it's usually over here to our left. And this year they moved it in front of us. I'm guessing that's just where it's been for practice this whole time.
I do have some breaking news here, Tony.
To move it. What do we got?
Some breaking news from Duval Doom on Twitter. He will be at minicamp tomorrow.
Oh, they don't have to stop by.
That's big news.
I don't know if that will officially count as, like, the fifth time he's hosted. I don't think so.
5.5, maybe. 4.5. 4.5.
Yeah, doing
a half.
Doing a guest spot doesn't count, I don't think, at least not as a full one. But we do have a bunch of guests that are going to stop by today. Mike DiRocco should be stopping by here in about 10 minutes or so. Ryan O'Halloran at the 11 o'clock hour. Lauren Brooks and Amanda Borges will both stop by at 11:15 as well to talk about Helmets and Heels coming up tonight. And a special guest here at the end of the show for us, Telvin Smith, coming off the practice field. We're expecting to be able to catch up with the Jaguars linebacker as, again, that guy's always kind of hyped up. But we get out here for these live practices where the fans are out here, and you can sense the intensity from guys like that that are kind of the heart of this team, the energy for this team. It ramps up to that next level for those guys specifically out here. As Telvin Smith came out, got a big cheer from the fans, started hyping him up. He was waving his hands in the air, saying, let's go, let's go. He was ready to go. He was dancing around during the warm-ups a few moments ago. So these guys are ready to get out here and show a little bit of the promise that we've all gotten during this offseason. Our fan feedback question of the day today, we're asking simply, outside of health, because I didn't want to ask a question where just everybody was going to respond and say, stay healthy. That's no fun for you, and it's no fun for me. So outside of staying healthy, what would you like the Jacksonville Jaguars to accomplish in this mandatory minicamp? What would you like to hear that they got done, knowing that it is a minicamp? They're not going to be in pads. They're not going to be hitting. It basically works just like the OTAs, but it is our last opportunity to see them before we get to training camp coming up in July. So what would you like to hear that they got done during the mandatory minicamp here over the next couple days? Mike Dempsey up in New York City. He will rejoin me tomorrow here on the show, and we'll be live out here from minicamp again tomorrow. But Mike DiRocco, a bunch of other guests coming through today as we will be talking Jaguars football for the next 2 hours live from Jacksonville Jaguars minicamp, and we'll get it started here in just a moment. I'm Fat Tony here on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. You know, today's one of those days when it's really cool to be a part of the official flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. 1010 XL 92.5 FM, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today live from Jaguars mandatory minicamp, joined now by Mike DiRocco coming off the practice field for a few minutes here. And I guess the big question everybody has, and we can talk about everything that's been going on in the offseason, Mike, but really today it's about Miles Jack and that opportunity to see him out on the field for the first time.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at today. I think that's what everybody here is looking at, although it was pretty surprising to me as the guys were walking out. Miles Jack got, you know, pretty decent little hand, but it was Jalen Ramsey who got the biggest hand from some
Jalen.
Of the fans. But, yeah, today is
so
all
Knowles,
about Miles
man.
Jack.
They don't know nothing about UCLA football around here.
East Coast bias. No, yeah, it's all about Miles Jack, and I'm eager to see him run around and eager to see him in some 7-on-7 to see that speed and that athleticism. And, you know, we've seen it on tape, obviously, and seen it on TV watching UCLA play, but getting a chance to see it in person, that's really going to be that's the biggest thing I'm taking out of
it. Yeah, no doubt. And I know for me, like, I was out at the Combine with Frangie and Ballou, mm-hmm. and, you know, you got all the players there, and it's like, okay, what are the Jags going to do with this number 5 pick? And Miles Jack wasn't really working out at the Combine, but he was there. And so I'm watching, like, film of all these guys while I got time sitting at the table. And I get to Miles Jack against, I can't even remember who it was, but I keep nudging Frangie, who's, like, on the air. I keep hitting Frangie. I'm like, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. Look at what he can do. Like, it was just ridiculous, the athleticism he has. And the idea of even 90% of that being able to translate to the NFL game. Even if he loses that 10%, I'm okay with it. He's that kind of special athlete.
And the thing that I keep going back to that just makes me shake my head is at UCLA, they asked him to line up against Nelson Aguilar.
I know.
6'4". Big receiver, went number 20 in the first round, and they're like, go ahead and get him, because none of our DBs are good enough to take him. And wait a minute, this guy's a linebacker. The Jags have this guy working on a middle linebacker, and he was able to do that. Now, I went back and looked at it. I think he caught one pass against Jack. Mm-hmm. They were in zone for the most part, but I think for the latter part of the game, they were in man. Fourth quarter, he caught one pass like 5 yards against Jack. So, I mean, that's impressive. Now, granted, you're not going to throw the ball to him on every snap, but just that they had the confidence to put him on Nelson Aguilar one-on-one is just it's mind-boggling.
Yeah,
and he handled it no problem.
Yeah, it speaks to a couple things about Miles Jack, really. And it's not only his ability, his physical ability, but it was the, hey, we're going to give you Nelson Aguilar, and here's a kid that's in college that says, oh, let me go watch the tape on Nelson,
right.
Get ready for Nelson, going all the way back to high school. What are the tendencies this guy has when he thinks he's overmatched against somebody, that kind of thing, which makes me look, it stinks that he's missed the last couple weeks to not be in here, get used to that kind of thing with the Jaguars, but I'm not worried about Miles Jack off the field because the story's like that. He's going to put in the work he needs to be a good pro.
Yeah, and that's the part that it's great to be able to know it, that mm-hmm. which he has done, obviously, from all reports from the Jags over the time that he was not able to be here because of the NFL stupid graduation rule.
Guy wasn't even enrolled.
Yeah, and they don't have any concerns about that. It's just, can he translate that? How quickly can he translate that to the field? And that's what today is about, and that's what, you know, tomorrow and Thursday. And, you know, and he'll be back here, obviously, for training camp, so it'll be interesting to see once we get midway through camp and if his knee is fine and there's no problems, which the Jaguars expect there won't be, mm-hmm. you know, where he is in terms of where they're playing him. Is he working at weak side? Is he working at strong side? You know, what's his... where is he in the substitution packs? Is he who is on the field on third down? The mental part of it, they're not worried about with him. They just want to see him, you know, translate it.
Yeah, what all they can or can't do with him, and how quickly they can do those things, which is the mental side of the game. I think he picks it up quick enough that I'm not worried about whatever they're going to ask him to do, even as a rookie in the NFL, and his ability is going to cover up some of the mistakes he's going to make, which can be said about a lot of the positions on this defense that couldn't be said a year ago. Whether it's there or Jalen Ramsey getting taken at number 5 in this draft, they bring in Malik Jackson, all the changes they've made on the defensive side of the ball, none, I think, more important than Tashaun Gibson.
I agree.
On the back end of that defense, and I haven't had the opportunity to be out here at OTA practices because they happen to run at the same time as Jaguars today.
How about that?
And they wouldn't let us come out here and broadcast because they were worried that we'd give away state secrets if we happen to be broadcasting during the practice out here. But Tashaun Gibson seems to be a guy that's been drawing rave reviews in the first couple weeks of OTAs, too.
Yeah, he's been in position to make several big hits, which obviously he didn't. Because of the fact that it's OTAs. But that probably, you know, based on the situation, probably would have resulted in some incompletions. He's had at least one interception, been in position for a couple others. I think he knocked a few passes away. I mean, it is the biggest signing that they made. And I know Malik Jackson got $90 million, and, you know, everyone's excited about Ramsey and Jack. But honestly, now they finally have a guy that can play free safety the way that they want it to be played in Gus Bradley's defense. And that changes everything. That changes how you play Cyprian.
Sure.
Closer to the box makes him a better player, where he's more comfortable. The only question that you have is, okay, if he gets hurt, you don't have anyone behind him. And you're back to where you were last year. But
sure,
you know, that's basically it at every position. But Tashaun Gibson, best free agent signing this team made, and he's going to pay dividends even if he doesn't have 6-7 interceptions. Just the fact that he's back there and has the athleticism and the knowledge side by side, they give him a chance to freelance a little bit. He's a ball hawk. That will make a significant difference in this defense.
Mike Duraco joining us here from ESPN, ESPN Nation, I think is what you guys call it now.
NFL Nation.
NFL Nation calling or covering the Jaguars for ESPN.com. And, look, I'm with you, and I think it is unreasonable from fans. You know, that idea of, oh, if we lose to Sean Gibson, we're back where we were last year. Well, yeah. That's why you upgrade the position. It's because you didn't want to be where you were last year.
Right.
So you bring in all these different guys. Now, it's a bit of a different story on the defensive line because of the number of bodies that they're bringing in, especially at that Leo position. Last year, that was Branch and Clemens, who really didn't give him much. Branch obviously flashed at times. That Colts game was unreal.
Best game he's ever played.
Yeah, what he did in that game. But that was basically it for Andre Branch last year. And the hope is that between Dante Fowler and Yannick Ngakoue and some of these other guys, that they're going to find a whole lot more at that Leo position than they've had. That in addition to bringing in Malik Jackson, to getting Sendarek Marks back, to Jared Odrick going into his second year in this system, to hopefully Roy Miller stacking up another season like he had last year. We've been talking about it for the last several months, but it feels like there are going to be some very difficult decisions to be made, not only about who makes the roster on this defensive line, but we talked about sub-packages for Miles Jack. Who fits where with this Jaguars defensive line and when? Because they got a lot of guys that they can move in as different movable pieces.
Yeah, and there's going to be some good football players on that defensive line that are cut and will find a home on another team and be regular players. And that always hasn't been the case with the Jaguars roster the last several years. But, you know, the thing that intrigues me the most is Sendarek Marks of 2 years ago was their best defensive player.
Yep.
Now, he played 4 games last year, coming off the ACL, the torn triceps. His body certainly has been saved the pounding that he would have taken over the last year. So, you know, that might help him a little bit. in terms of wear and tear. But the question I have is, where does he fit in? Because you're not bringing Malik Jackson to come in off the bench. So he's going to be your starting three technique tackle. Okay. So what's the rotation going to be like in terms there? I mean, they've got at least two separate fronts that they feel really, really good about. What's it look like on third down? You know, I think the conventional wisdom is Ngakoue and Fowler and then Jackson and Marks inside, those two inside. That would be your third down package.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we are going to see?
Ryan Davis has been so effective at that.
Right, and Ryan Davis has been really effective when he's brushed inside of next to Sendera.
Yeah.
That was when he had his best year. Now he's working at that Lotto position, Leo/Otto. You know, there's guys, where does Tyson Alualu fit into this whole thing?
Right.
You know, fans have been trying to cut him for years. You know what I mean? Every year it's like, Tyson needs to get and yeah, he's been just a solid, very good football player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does Odric's role change? Because he was on the field for some third downs last year, too. It's really going to be interesting. And I think it's going to take a while for that, honestly, to shake out. I think if you look at the first game of the year, the Green Bay game, I think the whole rotation will be completely different than it will be a month from then. You know, it's just going to be interesting to see how they get these guys on the field, because it's going to force guys to play at a higher level
if
they want to get on the field. And that's, you know, what you want.
Yeah, you go through all those packages. You didn't even mention a guy that Gus Bradley singled out when I talked to him, that Dante Fowler singled out when we talked to him. That's Sheldon Day.
Yeah, that's right. Where does Sheldon Day fit?
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It's difficult to figure out. And I talked about this last week a little bit with Sendera Marks. He's coming back to a different world.
Yeah.
You know, from the one where we talked about 2 years ago, he was probably the best player on this team. Not just defensive player, but the MVP of this Jacksonville Jaguars team. And now he comes back. He's finally healthy, coming off those back-to-back injuries. And he comes back, and they've paid $90 million to a guy who plays his position. They draft Sheldon Day, who they apparently really, really like, from that three-tech spot, too. It's not he walks in and it's like, here I am, the best player on this defense. It's here I am, how are they going to use me? And it's just a different world. And first down, it would seem like it would be hard for him to get on the field, because Odric's so effective against the run. They paid that money to Jackson, and Roy Miller was a monster last year.
He had a really good year last year.
A monster. So he's not playing the Leo spot on first and second down. So it feels like he is going to be a sub-package guy this year. And for the Jacksonville Jaguars to improve in just basically an offseason and a half, to the point where Sendera Marks, who was their best defensive player, is now a sub-package player for this defense, I think that's part of the reason that we have the excitement level we do from these fans.
Yeah, hey, don't forget Mike Bennett. I mean, he was a rookie last year, a three technique that they really, really liked as well. So there's another guy that you wonder, hey, where does he fit in or does he fit in? So, look, Sendera is, until you know otherwise, you kind of think you're going to get what you get out of him in 2014. So it'll be interesting to see, and we won't get a chance, obviously, to see it until the preseason. And how many snaps he plays. But, you know, the Jags don't want him to play. I think in 2014 he averaged 43 snaps a game.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the four games he played, I think he averaged 33, 34. So I think the Jags want to keep him in that 30 to 35 snap per game range, help him be more effective. And, look, when you can run fresh defensive linemen out there, this isn't a bad thing. You know, if you've got enough guys where you can rotate and you don't drop off significantly, then that's a pretty good deal, and that's where the Jags are. So, look, yeah, maybe he doesn't play as much as he did before, but if he's fresher in the fourth quarter and Malik Jackson is fresher in the fourth quarter, that's in this heat, that's a significant – I mean, look, I don't necessarily think that the Florida heat is as much of an advantage as maybe some people might make it out to be, but if – September, or whatever the date the opener is, the Green Bay game, is like it is today,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be a significant advantage for the Jaguars. And if you've got defensive linemen that can be fresh and can keep rotating in, then Sendera Marks should have a pretty solid year.
Yeah, and look, I think it's a bit of a welcome to the 21st century in the NFL for Jaguars fans, where you need 8 or 9 defensive linemen that you feel really good about. You need 4 or 5, maybe even 6 corners that you feel really good about. You need 4 or 5 wide receivers that you feel really good about. 2 or 3 tight ends that you love on your roster. That's today's NFL. And the Jaguars really haven't been playing that game for the past decade, and now it feels like they can.
And they couldn't have. I mean, even last year, 2 years ago, you could say, well, There's some guys that they feel good about, but they didn't really feel good about their entire starting lineup on either side of the ball. You know, and certainly I still think, you know, this is obviously, you know, as we get closer to the season, this will play out a little bit more in training camp and such. I still think the offensive line is a huge question. I still think they didn't do enough there. I still think that that's going to be this team's biggest weakness. So, you know, that to me is the biggest problem this team has going forward.
Is it a weakness because you don't like the players they're going to be left with on that line, or because of the questions you have about who's playing where at this point?
It's a weakness because how effective is Kelvin Beachum going to be coming off the ACL?
Right.
If he wins that starting left tackle job, how effective is Luke Joker going to be at left guard? Does he even play left guard? Is that Mackenzie Bernardo's spot? Okay. Brandon Linder, okay, is their best lineman. I don't necessarily think that he'll have problems in the transition to center, so I think they'll be okay there. Okay, AJ Cann played pretty well as a rookie, so you kind of expect him to take a next step, but we really don't know. It's not like these are 5-, 6-, 7-year veterans,
right,
that you know how they're going to play. You don't. You really don't. Even with Brandon Linder, to a degree, you know, he played his rookie year. He's their best offense line. Missed most of last year. So, really, how consistent is he going to be? That's the question. I just have too many questions. I can't look at one guy and sit there and go, okay, yeah, well, you know what you're going to get out of him all the time. And you know, people say, okay, well, what about Parnell at right tackle? Last year was his first year as a full-time starter. And I thought he played pretty well. But can he do it a year after? Can he do it a year after? That's the thing. The offensive line is still relatively unproven at the spots they are lining up at, and you just don't know. I don't think anybody can say with certainty, yeah, it's going to be fine here.
Yeah, and look, they've been bad the last couple of years on the offensive line. So maybe there's only room for improvement in that area.
Yeah.
I guess that's one way you could look at it, but I'm with you. I don't think I have as many questions as you do about it, but it certainly is, if you're going to circle the area where it's like, well, what's this really going to look like? I think offensive line is the area that's easiest to do that. And unlike defensive line and wide receiver and some of the other spots on a football team, look, your defensive line doesn't need cohesion. Defensive line needs to wreck things.
Right,
they need to tear things down. Offensive line, it's important. It's important to know who the five guys are going to be. You would like to know it by the time you're going into training camp. I think ideally on an NFL roster for this team, it may not be until they're getting ready for week 3 or 4 of the preseason that they even know who the five guys are going to be when they go up against Green Bay. And for a team that's given up a bunch of sacks in the last couple of years and keeps getting Blake Bortles hit, I think it is a big question. And it affects whether or not this offense can take the step it needs to into that level of consistency that the top offenses in this league have, where they can dictate a game. They played with a lot of teams last year. It was very rare that this offense dictated things inside a football game last year.
Look, I had a defensive player say to me, yeah, the defensive front looks really pretty good, these OTAs. You know, they're getting some pressure on the quarterback. Fowler's been in the backfield a lot. But how good is our offensive line?
Right.
There's not even people in the locker room aren't even sure if that offensive line is going to be any good, to be honest with you. So there's still a level of skepticism inside the team about whether this offensive unit, this offensive line, is going to be any better than it was the last couple of years.
You know? And hopefully it is, because, again, Blake's getting sacked 50 times a year, and that number needs to come way, way down.
And he's a big guy, and he takes a lot of punishment, and he's been pretty darn durable so far. But you can't keep getting him pounded over and over again. You know, they upgraded. Their receivers are fine, obviously. They upgraded a little bit at running back. They feel like they're upgrading a tight end only because you'll have theoretically a healthy Julius Thomas for the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everywhere else you feel really, really good about that offense.
One last thing before we let you go.
Okay.
Here, D-Rock. The two names that I've heard over and over again from everyone that's covering the OTAs that have stood out, Dante Fowler Jr., Marquise Lee. And just your impressions of those two guys through the first couple weeks of OTAs.
I'll go with Fowler first. Unbelievable quickness. Just what you expected to see out of him last year, you're seeing now. He doesn't need to wear the brace, but he's wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, it goes back to how good is the offensive line? Is he, you know, the first day he made a ridiculous move against Luke Joeckel, an inside spin move that just made Joeckel basically turn around like a ballerina. It was very impressive. But it's, you know, that being said, it's hard to tell from those guys because there's no full contact.
Sure.
But, I mean, you like what you've seen. He's been athletic. He's been quick.
Feels like a guy who's not thinking about the
right,
knee.
Right, exactly. He is not thinking about it at all. It doesn't look like it. It leaves me optimistic that he's going to be a guy that can get you that 5 to 7 sacks. And I thought Marquise Lee has been the best wide receiver on the field throughout OTAs. Now, I know that, you know, Hearns and Robinson have been held out and limited with their injuries, but Marquise Lee has run with the ball exceptionally well. He's been open. He's caught almost everything. I think I've only seen him drop one.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten open deep. He's gotten open across the middle. Just, and I know maybe part of this is just the fact that he's been healthy for the entire session of OTA.
Sure.
But I think he's been their best offensive player throughout OTAs. I think it's been a huge boost to that offense to see him like that. And it's optimistic if you can get him on the field for the entire season, what that does to your offense, because he adds that deep speed, that straight line, fastest wide receiver they've got, dynamic, that they didn't have last year.
What can we look forward to here over the next couple of days as the team wraps up its offseason here at the mandatory minicamp from you on ESPN?
We are going to be all Miles Jack all the time today. and then we get the chance to talk to Jalen Ramsey tomorrow for the first time since his surgery. So we're going to do some stuff on Ramsey, and then it'll be a training camp wrap-up. Going to write something on Bortles, and the offensive line. And I'm going to do something on Marquise Lee, just like we talked about. I think that adds a significant dynamic to the offense that they haven't had, in a long time, if he's healthy and he stays on the field.
Sure. Mike DiRocco, you can follow him on Twitter at ESPN DiRocco, DiRocco. Thank you so much for joining us out here. Get back out there to practice, man, and go watch some Miles Jack action.
Yeah, feel sorry for Ryan. These headphones are nasty.
Mine are nasty, too, but I'm the only one that has to wear them. Thanks again to Mike DiRocco for joining us here for a few minutes live from Jacksonville Jaguars mini camp, mandatory mini camp. We're out here today. We're going to be back out here tomorrow. Mike Dempsey will rejoin me tomorrow for the show. We got this date in football history, the Honda driver on the NFL coming up next. Then hopeful to be joined by Ryan O'Halloran a little bit later on. Telvin Smith still to come in the program today, so a lot to get done as we are live from Jaguars minicamp out here at the practice fields just outside of Everbank Field. Thrilled to be out here and be able to bring it to you. We'll have this date in the history of the NFL and the Honda driver on the NFL coming up next here on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, strap in for this one. It's June 14th. I apologize that nothing of note happens on June 14th in the history of the National Football League. A couple birthdays, though. Sammy Watkins, 23 years old today, so happy birthday, Sammy, as he gets ready for, his third year in the league, dealing with that injury, the surgery on his foot. So happy birthday to Sammy Watkins. Outside of that, there's really not much. There was a New York Giants cornerback who was named Willie Beeman. I only bring that up because Willie Beeman was the name of Jamie Foxx's character in Any Given Sunday. But they have absolutely no correlation to one another. It just happens to be that Jamie Foxx was steaming Willie Beeman. And I would sing the song for everyone out there, but I can't even get to the second line of the song without it getting to a point where I can no longer sing the song and make it safe for radio with the PG format that we have on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. So that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Oh, well, Tony, somewhere Von Miller is doing a little fist pump somewhere after seeing the Fletcher Cox numbers. 6-year extension that will keep him in Philly for the 2022 season. $103 million over 6 years, $63 million in guarantees. He'll make $36 million fully guaranteed already. And over the first 3 years, he'll make just under $48 million. Oh, don't also forget a $26 million signing bonus. A former NFL lineman, Brian Robinson, who spent 14 years in the league, was found dead Saturday in a motel room in Milwaukee. Details surrounding his death are very slim at this point in the Milwaukee Medical Examiner's Office is currently investigating. The 41-year-old played for the Bears, Cardinals, Rams, Bengals, and Dolphins, and played in Super Bowl XLIII with the Cardinals back in 2009. And this is interesting, caught my eye yesterday, Tony. Three-time NBA slam dunk champion and often the smallest player on an NBA court. Nate Robinson is now 32 years old, and his professional basketball career has now shifted overseas. While the 5'9" veteran used to play defensive back at the University of Washington, and the Seattle Seahawks gave Robinson a tryout yesterday. He last played football nearly 15 years ago in college at Washington. He played in all 13 games at cornerback, starting the final six games of the season. And I pulled a clip from a video a few months ago where Nate was talking about some interest in making the move to the NBA, making the move to the NFL from the NBA, a move no one has ever made. In this clip, you'll hear Nate as well as Jaguars tight end Mercedes Lewis and Robinson's college coach at Washington, Rick Neuheisel.
Nate Robinson, his best sport is football. And people tell me all the time, if anybody can do it, go play football, it's you.
It was easy to see that he was so good in both that he was probably going to have to pick one, or he was going to lose that edge that he had clearly in both.
The first time that I got wind of who Nate was, we were getting ready to play Washington, and you got to go through scouting reports. He was on the list as a game wrecker, and when a coach puts you on the list as being a game wrecker, that means that you have the ability to take over a game.
He knows where to be, feels the game. The guy has what it takes to play football at the highest level.
For me, I don't think anybody's ever played basketball or football. I mean, you got Deion Sanders who played football, baseball, Bo Jackson. You know, why not be Nate Robinson, be the first one to do it?
The NFL is a different beast with different animals, and it takes more of you to do that. It's like modern-day gladiators, so it takes a little more.
I haven't played in 11 years, 12 years, but I know how to tackle, I know how to play, I know how to hit, I know how to catch, I can get picks, I can get deflections, I know all technique, bell technique, bump, 7 yards off, 5 yards off, or whatever, like, I know it all. If somebody gave me a real opportunity, I know I can.
He takes chances, he's athletic, and he's fearless. There's always room in our league for people like that.
In my mind, I've seen one athlete that could do this, and that's Nate Robinson.
Nate Robinson's now 32, listed at 5'9", 180, and when he was in high school, he was actually a pretty damn good football player as well. He was named the state of Washington's high school football and basketball players of the year. So that was Mercedes Lewis, a little Jaguars connection there in that video. One final story here, Tony, in the Honda drive around the NFL. Colin Kaepernick finds himself in a quarterback battle alongside Blaine Gabbert and Jeff Driscoll in San Francisco, and whether Cap wants to be there or not is another story. Well, according to Matt Barrows of the Sacramento Bee, Cap got contact lenses this offseason to improve his short vision. No reports if he chose the kind that turns your eyes different colors.
I'm sure no San Francisco fans are giving him a hard time about needing contacts four or five years into his career now. No doubt it does with whatever interceptions he happens to have thrown in a 49ers uniform. You know, a couple things coming out of that. First of all, for Nate, choosing to play basketball over football, good choice, young man. The contracts in the NBA are guaranteed. You would have gotten no such thing in the National Football League, so he's probably maximized his income by choosing the NBA if he could do both the NBA and the NFL. And the other thing, talking about the contract extension for Fletcher Cox up there in Philadelphia, not only is Von Miller probably sitting there going, really, Denver? I'm watching this guy sign a contract. He's getting $63 million guaranteed, and you want to offer me $38 million guaranteed? That's craziness between the impact that those two players have for their football teams. And the other thing, in a very much more local note, we have these animals in the smoothie place next to us just randomly pulling cords on stuff. I'm in the middle of a very good thought. Now, you have no idea. I'll let you judge for yourselves here as I actually finish my thought. But I was leading to this thought, talking about the deal with Fletcher Cox as you rejoin us here on Jaguars Today. Live from Jaguars Minicamp, Fat Tony here with you. Mike Dempsey up in New York. He'll rejoin me tomorrow for the show out here. Again, live from Jaguars Minicamp. T-Wig sitting down to join me here in just a moment. But, Wig, I was in the middle of talking about the Fletcher Cox deal and what it means for Von Miller and him probably sitting somewhere laughing at the idea of the Broncos offering $38 million guaranteed at this point in time when he wants somewhere in the neighborhood of 70. And if Fletcher Cox is going to get 63, then why isn't Von Miller worth 70? And my other local thought was Malik Jackson's contract just became a bargain.
Yes.
It's what it just became. If you're only paying the guy, what, $42 million guaranteed? That's you're saving $20 million guaranteed dollars compared to the deal for Fletcher Cox, and they're both six-year deals for both those guys. Unbelievable money for Fletcher up there in Philadelphia.
If Fletcher gets that, how much is Muhammad Wilkerson worth? That's another question. Fletcher's a real, real good player, though. Very, very dynamic player. Doesn't get the credit that he deserves because obviously Philly hasn't been winning anything. But I'd say he's a top five defensive tackle.
Sure.
I would easily say that. Very versatile, can play in the 3-4 or 4-3, rushes the passer, plays the run. I don't think Kawan Short gets anywhere near that money-wise. Von Miller has to be thrilled that this is happening. Now, to Denver's credit, they shouldn't necessarily be bound to pay a guy based on someone else's mistakes if they think that that's overpaying. If they thought Olivier Vernon was being overpaid or if they thought Fletcher Cox got too much money. But if you're not going to be bound to it, you know what? Be prepared to let him go.
You ain't kidding.
Just like Malik Jackson, you let him go, you be prepared to let him go. The bottom line is, though, is if we're looking at it the way you look at real estate, Von Miller is worth $70 million guaranteed if Fletcher Cox is worth $60.
No doubt. No doubt. And that's what he's asking for at this point. Now, basically, I think what it's going to take for those two sides to get the deal done is Denver just say, all right, we'll guarantee the third or fourth year. Whatever it happens to be, we're just going to guarantee the third or fourth year. I think Vaughn's looking at it as, well, if I play under the franchise tag this year and I don't like the contract I get, so they franchise me again next year, and then they decided they needed to do it again the next year, then how much money is that guaranteed for me? That's what I want in my contract. I think that's the way Von Miller's looking at it. Denver, obviously, is not looking at it that way to this point, and they've already shown a willingness this offseason to not overpay for somebody, even at a position as important as quarterback. They're willing to roll the dice on Sanchez, hopefully get their guy in the draft, which they traded back up in the first round to go get Paxton Lynch, instead of paying for a guy that they saw for all of the last 3 years there in Denver. So we'll see if the gamble that they're playing right now pays off for them. From a Jaguar perspective, it's Miles Jack Day in Jacksonville. There's no doubt about it.
It is Miles Jack Day, and I'm also very yoked up and excited to see what this mercurial athlete looks like on the field. If he has no limitations and restrictions, which we've always been told that he's a full go, it's going to be interesting to see what this jumbo athlete that guards wide receivers looks like. A guy that probably was a top three pick had he not had the potential for an injury to come back on him and sort of soften his long-term, prognosis or how effective he would be later on, would have been a top three pick. So I want to see him running around, and I want to see what that type of guy looks like. We've got a hint of it with Dante Fowler up front. We'll get a better hint of it with Jalen Ramsey. But a little bit of what Tashawn Gibson has done in the back. You're getting those guys at each and every level. I want to see him opposite Telvin, because now you're getting all of that speed, the type of speed that teams have when they challenge for championships.
Yeah, and especially on the defensive side of the ball where they were in such desperate need of it. I mean, there just wasn't any of that here in Jacksonville, really, in a very long time since they broke up that defense that was really good in the mid-2000s. They haven't had those kind of athletes on that side of the ball, so it's nice to see that coming back to Jacksonville. I had DeRocco on earlier today, and one of the things we talked about, to me, it's kind of like the Jaguars are, it's the welcome to the 21st century of football for the city of Jacksonville, where you don't need four defensive linemen, you need eight. You need nine. Where you don't need two wide receivers, you need four. You need five. Where you don't need one tight end, you need two. You need three. And this is a team that's always had some of that, but never all of that. And it feels like we don't know what the answers are as far as how good these players are or aren't that they brought in during this offseason. But it feels like it could be an official welcome to what football is right now in the NFL. The Jaguars finally look like a team that could, from a roster perspective, at least compete with the rest of the NFL.
No, you're right. And something that's very critical to remember is there are a lot of teams around the league that have great individual players that put up huge individual numbers that are fantasy football freaks, if you will, and those teams can't seem to get out of their own way when it comes to putting it together and winning on the field together. At certain points, you can look at a team like Chicago, where they have Alshon Jeffrey, and they had Matt Forte, and they had Cutler on his good weeks. And guess what? Couldn't get out of their own way. Had a really good offensive line, a good young offensive line. Remember, a few years ago, they drafted all those linemen, and they hit on them all.
Sure.
And guess what? Just inept at times offensively. New Orleans, for a long time, after their Super Bowl days, it's been a team where guys put up individual numbers. Drew Brees almost 5,000 yards, or maybe 5,000 yards a few years in a row, running backs getting all kinds. Two and three running backs are fantasy football stars. Receivers, guy named Willie Snead, who I never heard of in my life last year, sounds like a dude who's driving a bus, and then all of a sudden, he's a fantasy football star.
Mm-hmm.
And then and Cooks and all of these pieces can't put it together. So it's one thing to get the bodies. That's the most important thing, because if you don't have them, you can't do anything.
Sure.
But it's another thing to have a winning attitude, have the accountability, and have the continuity week after week after week, and that consistency that enables you to win on a basis that will allow you to win the division. Look, sometimes it's just a matter of one game.
Sure.
If you don't win the division, you don't get that home field game, you know, you might not even make the playoffs as a wild card in certain divisions.
No doubt. And the AFC South certainly feels like one of those. I mean, it's hard to imagine two or three teams coming out of the AFC South with the way that it's looked the last couple of years, but somebody's going to get to host the playoff game. We know that coming out of the division. Houston got blown out at home by Kansas City last year, but somebody's going to get the opportunity to host on wild card weekend coming out of the AFC South. And I think that one of the other things is, and it's not something that we've discussed a whole lot here on this show yet, but look, we got the rest of the offseason where it's really about to slow down from a football perspective to get into these types of questions. What is the right way to do it? When you're building a defense in today's day and age, what is the right way to do it? And it feels like it's an inside-out game mm-hmm. at this point because of how desperate teams are for pass rush and the athletes that you have, because of the athletes that play offensive line compared to what they've been in history. To have a guy that can actually get after the passer is such a valuable commodity. But I read about some of the past great defenses in this league, even as recent as, you know, the Dick LeBeau zone blitz. And what he did was he had really good players up front, but he had Hall of Famers in the secondary and guys that he could rely on that level. So I question a little bit, what's the right way to do it in today's NFL to build a championship-level defense? Was Seattle built from the inside out, or did they find Sherman and those guys in the secondary and say, hey, this works, let's see what we can do playing around with the front line still?
You know what Seattle did that people overlook? They got the right coach. And I'm not saying that the Jaguars don't. The toughest job on this team, to me, is what Dave Caldwell has to do. One, you have to depend on your scouts. You have to pick players. Then you have to get the right coach and trust that he gets the right staff and trust that all of those guys are doing the things that they need to do. Look, everyone works hard in the NFL. I don't know any coaching staff. You know, you've heard rumors of guys not sleeping at the facility, per se, but I don't know any coaching staff that goes into a situation thinking that they're not doing it the right way. That right. They don't pour hours and hours of film study and work in. You don't think Gene Smith worked hard when he was the general manager down here at the stadium? Sure he worked hard. And sometimes when you're working hard, but you're not the right man for the job, you're working hard and it's counterintuitive because you're working hard to do the wrong thing.
Sure.
And we just have to see. We don't have a track record with Gus Bradley as a head coach. As much as we like him, as much as we love how he communicates and what he stands for, we just don't have a big enough track record with him to say, well, look, I saw him do this somewhere else. You know, I saw him do this in another location. This is what he's about. This is what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that. We don't have that with Todd Wash. We don't know what he's going to be capable of. There are so many things that are being done here that are being done for the first time. The only thing we have and the only history we have to measure how good of a coach we think Gus Bradley is the last 3 years, and he's 12-36.
Sure, sure. And it's historically bad in the Super Bowl era that a coach is going into his fourth year with this kind of win total. We haven't seen it before. Now
there are variables as to why he was that way.
No doubt.
And those are fair things to talk about.
No doubt.
But there are also situations where it had nothing to do with talent, where you scratched your head sometimes wondering what he was thinking.
No doubt. And we're hopeful. Everyone in Jacksonville is hopeful. Look, Mike and I have made this very clear since last season ended. We would have pulled the cord on the Gus Bradley era.
I would have too.
And that doesn't mean I'm right.
No, it doesn't.
It means the opinion that I had was I've seen enough to have my decision made about Gus Bradley at this point that I felt like you could justify certainly moving on to somebody else. This team is deciding to do it a different way. It's what they've been saying basically since this regime took over. We'll see if it works, because I think there's a lot of owners in the NFL that would like to see this work, mm-hmm. right, where you can have this level of patience with a football team
and it pay off for you, but we're going to see. This year is absolutely a crucial year for these guys. Thanks for joining me here for a few minutes, Wig. I'll let you get back out there and watch.
All right, my brother.
Some Miles Jack. Ryan O'Halloran should be joining me next here in just a moment. Wig, that's not the last of them you're going to hear on this program. I guarantee you, with Mike out the next couple weeks, I'm planning on getting Wig in a couple times probably. One time next week and one time the week after that to talk a little Jaguars football as we get full-fledged into the offseason. Ryan O'Halloran will join me next. 11-on-11s have already taken place out here on the football field, which means number 44 has participated in his first 11-on-11s in a Jacksonville Jaguars uniform. How did Miles Jack look? We'll find out as O'Halloran joins us next here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Live from Jaguars minicamp, Fat Tony here with you. Mike Dempsey will rejoin me tomorrow as we'll wrap up at least the live coverage. We only got out here for 2 days this year. I feel like I've been ripped off a little bit as we're joined by Amanda Borges and Lauren Brooks from Helmets and Heels coming up a little bit later on tonight, as well as the Frank Frangie Show. What are y'all calling that thing now?
The Frangie Show.
It's just Frangie Show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Frank decided to drop his first name. Because who cares, right?
That's the big change.
Because they go by last names anyways.
That's true.
The big change is it's just the Frangie Show now.
Yeah.
But obviously an opportunity today for all the fans to come out here and really see all these guys for the first time, because it's not like practice has been open to the public before today. But the guy that everybody's been focused on throughout the morning has been Miles Jack, obviously. And he's running second-team Mike linebacker, from what I can tell. And
yep.
If y'all have had the opportunity to watch some of these drills, how's he looked?
He looks good. He looks really good, especially because he's with the twos. So, you know, he's not necessarily going up against the best of the competition out there, but he's fast, he's quick, he's got a good head on his shoulders. I like it. I like it already.
The thing that's hard is since you can't tackle, mm-hmm. it is a little bit hard to see exactly, but he is, you can tell he's in the right spot at the right time, so he knows what he's doing out there. So that's encouraging to see. Plus, he's just an overall big dude.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Such a big dude.
Yeah, and he's an athletic guy, and I've told this story before, but I remember being out of the combine, and it was the first time I had watched tape of Miles Jack, and I think I was actually bothering Frank by how much I was just, like, in awe of the things that I was seeing Miles Jack do, because I had watched, you know, I've seen a lot of Jalen Ramsey
yep.
with him being in Florida State, and some of the other top prospects is like Joey Bosa's been on the radar now for 2.5 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're getting ready for the draft. And it's like, let me see this Miles Jack guy who everyone's talking about but has his knee injury. And whatever game it was that I was watching, him in coverage, it was just like, he looks like a corner. Like, this is a guy playing linebacker that looks like a corner, and the idea of adding that kind of athleticism to this defense with everything else they're already bringing in, I mean, it just...
And he can learn so much from Pupus Lesney, too. And
yeah.
So that's, I think, such a great veteran tool to have around.
Oh, yeah.
Because Paul is such a, you know, incredibly talented mental football player. He's got all the physical talents, too, but Pupus Lesney is just, he's, you know, very articulate when it comes to the football language, and I think that is another benefit for Miles Jack.
I'm curious to see how Paul handles it, not necessarily in this training camp, but over the course of the next 12 months, really, where they just drafted a guy where they're running him at second team Mike. He's probably not going to play Mike for this team this year just because he's a rookie, and I imagine they're going to have some other things that they want him to do. But it feels like Miles Jack could be the eventual Mike linebacker for this team. And Paul has never been on a team where they drafted the guy to replace him,
right.
you know, and especially that high. And on this roster, there's been nobody to push him middle linebacker for since Paul Pupus-Lesney basically got here. I'm curious to see how he handles it. He's a professional guy, but this is a different situation than any he's encountered to this point in his career.
And he's, I would say, one of the most competitive guys on the team. And, yeah, I think it'll be difficult for him in a sense, but at the same time, his career may end up lasting a little bit longer if they're able to switch out reps and things like that. You know, he took such a beating the last couple of years that he needs a little, you know, a little time.
I think it's hard for anyone, because anyone that plays a sport is competitive. That's the bottom line. But he does take being a veteran very seriously, and he is a leader in that locker room, specifically on the defense. So I think he'll kind of take Miles under his wing, but I'm sure there's a little bit of, hey, as soon as I teach him, he's going to be better than me if he's not already better than me.
Yeah, there's got to be a little bit of that just because of
course.
The type of player that Jack is, the type of athlete he is. And, look, nobody wants to give up their job. And that's why I wonder a little bit with a guy like that who I don't have questions about how he's going to handle it, but I am curious about how he's going to handle it just because I've never seen him have to deal with it. And I think a lot of other guys on the team are. I think including a guy like Marquise Lee, and you're watching kind of the results of – if you want to know what it looks like to have real competition on your roster, then watch Marquise Lee out here at these OTAs, because I think it's a direct result of that, that he is the highest pick of these three wide receivers that everyone talks about here in Jacksonville and has been the one that hasn't been able to be healthy. And Hearns has just been killing it with the opportunities he's been given. And Marquise comes out here, he's finally healthy, and he's showing it off a little bit out there on the field in the OTAs.
And I think we also saw some good stuff out of Mercedes Lewis a little bit,
yeah,
the veteran tight end. And I guess I wasn't expecting to really see him show off today. He wasn't a player, you know, that really any of us had on our list to watch, but he's had a fantastic day too.
Mercedes takes a lot of crap, and I've been out here, you know, watching last year and now this year, and he always shows up in practice, but then something happens in the games, and so that's obviously when you're supposed to perform at your best, and so then fans are like, oh, Mercedes.
That Mercedes spin move shows up in the games. In practice, a spin move is really effective. In the games, right, it just looks big and clunky for a guy as big as Mercedes Lewis, but he'll use it basically every time he catches the ball. He'll try that spin move, that big circular spin move as he tries to get around a defender. But you're right, Amanda. He is a guy that always, at the practices, you're like, ooh.
He's good this year. Wow, yeah. Mercedes
you're always
is showing
like,
up.
Ooh, because he's set. Look, people just don't get built like Mercedes Lewis, right?
Right.
Guys that big, that athletic, they don't exist
right in
large numbers. So you come out to a practice where there's no pads, there's no hitting, it's just athletes being athletes, and
yeah,
it's like, ooh, athlete, when you look at Mercedes Lewis. And then we get to the pads and everything, and it equalizes everything a little bit. I still think he's good.
Of course.
He's not bad. It's just Mercedes is another one of those guys that has never quite lived up to the hype that you expected, especially coming off that 10-touchdown year with David Garrard.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously now it's deep competition amongst him and Julius Thomas. But,
yeah,
all right, Tony, I'm going to predict who Hacker's player to watch for the offseason will be for this year. I have
curious.
A player for you.
Okay.
His number is 47.
Okay.
His name is Jared Wilson. He's a safety out of Michigan.
Okay.
And I'm predicting Hacker to be in love with him over the next few days.
He's got to fill Bo Blankenship's shoes. Remember Bo Blankenship?
Exactly. Yes,
what was his name again? I already forgot his name.
Oh, this guy is Jared Wilson. J-A-R-R-O-D.
47. He
Wilson.
Did get a pick today.
Oh, nice.
He's been showing up, so I guess Hacker has a little bit of a reason.
Now, Hacker hasn't mentioned this to me. I'm just predicting what the one person he's going to say is going to make the team.
Safety.
That's correct. Yes. There needs to be competition at safety around here.
Vital
as a matter of fact. And speaking of safeties, Tayshaun Gibson, as everyone has raved about him, is such a stud. So good.
He is
so
it.
Fast. I said to Frank, he's made our defense, honestly, I think 20% better. Just like him himself. And he was like, it's night and day difference.
And not only that, but it's all the other things that they're going to be adding to this defense. I mean, there's a lot of question marks, but it feels like a lot of the questions are going to have positive answers. And at this point in the offseason, you can fool yourself into a lot of things.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and
didn't
Jaguars,
we do that last season?
Yeah, I was about to say, well, you've only experienced this as your second offseason.
Yeah, but I experienced the fooling part last offseason.
Yeah, well, it's been every year. There was a point in time when they drafted Justin Blackmon. All right, when this team drafted Justin Blackmon, this city was convinced that was it. This is the pick. This is the player that's going to put us over the top. Our GM, who has never been willing to take a guy that has any kind of off-field questions, has finally gone out on a little bit of a limb with this guy, and he's such an athletic freak that this is the pick that's going to take our offense over the top. And it crumbled. Just crumbled within a year, year and a half. That was a year where I remember all the national pundits were predicting the Jaguars to win like three games. And the year before, they had won four or whatever it was. And we're like, there's no way with the addition of Justin Blackmon and everyone else on this team that they're going to win fewer games than they won the year before. Sure enough, National guys are right. The next year we said the same thing. Sure enough, they won two games. The next year we said the same thing. Well, they got to make a vast improvement, right? Sure enough. I mean, it's been the same story now, it feels like, for six or seven off seasons, which is why the hope, it springs eternal in Jacksonville. We have an off season like this. There is genuine excitement. You could see it today just with the numbers of people that are showing up for a mini camp.
And sweating.
I was
going to
ask, how many people do you think are here?
I haven't been given a number
a
yet.
I'm going to go.
The number I was
given. 2,000 to 3,000? What do you think?
Okay. I was given around 1,800 earlier.
Okay. So, yeah. I'm in the ballpark.
Yeah. That's a really good crowd.
I think
absolutely.
It is.
Especially on a day, I would say, this
it's
hot.
It's Tuesday morning.
Right. Well, and obviously school's out, so there's kids and everything, but it is that's hard true. Sometimes to bring your kids in this heat without, you know, there being a pool around. That's what we need. We need to create. We've got the pools at the stadium.
Yep.
Now we just need some pools for minicamp.
Just open it up.
Yeah.
Just open it up right now.
Or just line the field with kiddie pools.
Mark and Shot, are you listening to me? I know you're out there on the field, Mark. I know he's within hearing distance of me. I doubt he's listening to me, but open up the pools, Mark. Just right after practice, let these people go swim a little bit. You can make a little extra money. What's it cost you to open it?
Well, I don't think anyone has their bathing suits, so we might be in for
a
real treat.
Like that's ever stopped anyone in Jacksonville.
That's exactly what I mean. That would be a little bit of an issue.
Just open the bar and let them in.
So, Tony, I think you should broadcast your show from Whiskey Jack's tonight so you can hang out with us.
Oh, you should.
I don't... I have no plans to do that.
That's what I mean. Why not?
I don't know. I hadn't even thought about it
but
until you brought
gonna
it up.
But we're going to be there.
I know you're going to be there.
They have a wing special tonight,
they
right?
They do.
75 cent
wing. $2 half-tout beer.
I got it in stereo.
Yeah. And someone else is going to be there, too. Oh. I don't know if you've heard of him before.
Who would that be?
His first name's Telvin.
Oh, Telvin Smith joining you guys for the whole hour. I know last time you had him on, we found out that, like every other dude in America, that The Lion King is his favorite Disney movie. I don't know what it is about The Lion King, but guys all love The Lion King. And they kind
of,
I think it's
Aladdin because of Jasmine.
Yeah, I think because anything else feels like too girly for them to pick.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, oh, I'll go with, because The Lion King doesn't have a princess.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're
Nala's,
right.
Nala's,
it's just a prince. There's a girl.
Yeah, a girl lion, though.
Yeah, but it's not about her. That movie's not
about
her. Just like Aladdin's not about Jasmine, right?
No.
Which is why the guys pick it.
I guess.
That's why the guys
pick
those two.
And Robin Williams was in it.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
Lauren, last night I saw, this reminded me, because one of the questions we ask on Helmets and Heels a lot is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yeah, of course it is.
So, last night.
It is.
And I mean that with
it's
both.
In the
of course
Webster.
You asked that question, and
of
course
it's
a sandwich.
Okay, well that's an argument for another time, Tony Smith. Last night, during one of the commercial breaks during the NBA Finals, was a commercial for a new movie coming out that is an animated film about food, where food talks.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the movie is Sausage Fest, or like
Sausage
Party.
Party.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's a hard R. It's a hard R animated movie.
I could not believe my eyes.
No, it's going to be disgusting. Well, the movie is going to be absolutely 100% filthy when that thing hits theaters.
We went from Miles Jack and Marquis
sorry,
to
I'm
Sausage Fest.
I know. Well,
Sausage Party. I'm sorry. That's my mistake.
You guys are getting Telvin Smith tonight. I'm getting the scoop on you.
Yeah.
I'm getting the scoop, as Telvin Smith should be joining me here in the next 5 to 10 minutes coming off
oh.
the practice field to talk about the mini camp and the OTAs to this point in time. So,
and then you know he's going to be... part of the Coke Zero 400 as well.
Is he really?
Yeah.
What's he doing with that?
He's
driving a pace car.
Yeah.
Oh. That's kind of cool.
I know.
I thought it was just the first lap.
What does he not do these days, right?
I don't know.
Telvin's just all over the place. But
man,
tonight he's gonna represent for the Knolls. It's going to be a huge seminal party. Lauren cannot wait. She's going to wear her garnet
dress.
Hey,
you know what?
Dress.
Had we lost last night, I probably would have canceled my responsibilities for tonight.
What?
But because my team is victorious and we're headed to Omaha, I'll be fine at the Florida State
loser
party.
All right, I need you both to make a note of what show you're on. Knolls, Gators, these things don't matter.
Sorry.
For the next 31 minutes... Those things
it's
do
Jags.
Not matter.
Sorry about that.
It's Telvin Smith, Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker, and right. a darn good one.
Former Noel.
Former Noel,
if you want to put that afterwards. Okay, way afterwards. We could talk about that way afterwards. But
so are you kicking us out now?
No, I'm not kicking you out, but I will say goodbye here in a moment as we can welcome in Telvin Smith. For you, Amanda, before we let you go, you've been out here at all these OTAs. The names that we keep hearing as far as guys that have been standing out have been Dante Fowler Jr.
Yep.
and Marquise Lee. For you, having been out here every day, are you seeing the same kind of thing? Would anybody else be standing out for you to this point?
No, I agree with what everyone else has been saying, which I wish I had something else to say. But first of all, you're not allowed to talk about what you see in OTAs. like specifics. So I always get nervous saying certain things, but it's everyone that people are saying, specifically Tayshaun Gibson. For me, it's just been interesting watching the defense because I think as a whole we feel like the offense is put together and we're expecting great things from them. With the defense and so many new additions, we're like, oh, this is going to be great, but where are they going to put certain people and what are they going to do? And so it's just been interesting to watch.
Sure.
But it's also been cool to hear from certain players talk about what it's like having these new pieces in meeting rooms as well. Like Devon House was talking about how just having Prince Amukamara in the room just like changes the dynamic of how they look at things and how they feel about certain things. So it's really cool to hear that.
One other player to me of note, Chris Ivory.
Okay.
Nobody on our team looks like Chris Ivory does.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed watching him today.
And it's why they brought him in, is mm-hmm. kind of that complimentary piece to T.J. Yeldon. I get the feeling that the carries are going to be pretty much split between those two guys, and they have very specific roles in mind, where T.J. Yeldon's kind of a third down back. I still think he's going to be the first guy to get a carry for this football team, but kind of a third down back, and Chris Ivory feels like they finally have a short yardage goal line guy, which they have been struggling mighty with
for
a couple of years now here in Jacksonville, trying to find that answer. They've tried.
Yeah.
They just haven't been able to find it. It looks like maybe they found it finally in Chris Ivory. Before I let
that
you go.
Hold on, Tony. That would actually be a really good bet is who takes the first snap as far as a running back goes. Will it be Yeldon or Ivory? Because it depends on the situation that the team, if we throw, you know, twice on the first two plays, then it could be a short yardage situation, so it could be Ivory.
So who gets the first carry?
Right, who gets the first carry? Yeah, that's my question.
I know my
what's our
answer.
Bet? Yeah, yours
Yeldon.
Is going to be Yeldon, yeah. And mine will be Ivory, so
okay.
We have a bet.
Don't rule out Jonas Gray making this team.
He's an interesting guy. Like, with those other two guys in front of him, he has no role.
Right.
On a week-to-week basis, but if somebody got hurt, he feels like if he's on your roster, he's the guy that can come in and replace either one of them.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting roster decision for this team, whether they want to – how many running backs they want to keep.
Yeah.
And whether it would be Gray or Denard or somebody else, Corey Grant, who gives them that element of speed. They have some questions behind those two guys.
We did see Denard fumble earlier, by the way.
We don't need that to be
Correct.
Coming back, Denard.
Right. Yeah.
That needs to stay in 2015.
Yeah. And that's why I mentioned it.
Before I let you go, I'm going to turn it around on you real quick. Helmut Tennille is coming up tonight at 7 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Here on 1010XL 92.5 FM, live from Whiskey Jack. So check it out. 75 cent wings.
Yep.
Is that right?
$2 draft beer.
$2 draft beer.
$2.95 in Bay Meadows.
So what is your favorite Disney movie?
Little Mermaid.
Okay.
It's a good one.
And?
I like Little Mermaid, but I also like...
She's looking at me as if I'm going
to
be a girl.
I used to love Pocahontas.
Okay.
When I was growing up.
Okay.
And Lion King is certainly, it's probably a toss-up. And I don't ever go back and rewatch, so as an adult, I don't have any favorites.
Sure.
These are all simply when I was a kid.
When you were a kid.
Yeah. And Lion King scared me and made me cry when I was a kid and probably would tomorrow, too.
With the stampeding? Stampeding is a little bit scary. Scar's a little bit scary.
Scar's very scary. Yeah. And his dad dies, and that's when I cried.
I didn't love Lion King. No one has mentioned my favorite Disney movie.
Oh, okay. So what's yours?
What is it?
Beauty and the Beast.
Ah.
And it's not even close. I could sing that song. Like, I could sing Beauty and the Beast songs till the cows come home. And whatever that makes you think of me, I don't care.
I do not
care. It's my favorite, and it's the only one that's ever been nominated for Best Picture. Take that, all you Lion King fans.
It's true.
As we say goodbye to you guys. Hopefully welcome in Telvin Smith here in a couple minutes. Thanks for dropping by for a couple minutes.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us, honey. We'll talk to you tonight.
Absolutely. After Helmets and Heels tonight from 7 to 9 on 1010XL 92.5 FM, then, of course, it's a Fat Tuesday tonight. I'll be back for another hour of sports talk. It may not be all Jaguars tonight, but we're all going to be all Jaguars for the next 20 minutes or so, as Telvin Smith expected to come by and join us as they are just about ready to wrap up practice here from day one of the mandatory mini camp. Fat Tony here with you live from mandatory mini camp on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, hopeful to be joined by Jaguars linebacker Telvin Smith here in the next couple minutes. They're still in the practice field right now, so hopefully they get it wrapped up before we get off the air here today and we get the opportunity to sit down with Telvin at least for a couple of minutes, but they're running a little bit long here in practice this morning. Mike Dempsey up in New York. He'll be back with me tomorrow here live from Jaguars minicamp, as we'll be back on the air here on 1010XL 92.5 FM live from Jaguars minicamp tomorrow. Minicamp wraps up on Thursday, and that wraps up the Jacksonville Jaguars offseason. On Thursday morning after they leave here, we won't see them on the field again until training camp in July. So they get that time off, and it's well-earned as far as these guys have to go. Heck, man, just 2 hours in the sunshine doing what they're having to do right now. Give them a month off. I'm all right with that if they're not out here working their tails off in the middle of July. I don't need it from these guys. We just need them to stay healthy and get ready for training camp, get ready for the upcoming season in 2016, where expectations are going to be as high as they've been in the Gus Bradley era. The fan feedback spotlight question of the day today, asking simply, outside of staying healthy, which we know would be the number one priority for every fan, coach, and player here in Jacksonville and involved with the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. But outside of staying healthy, what would you like to see the Jaguars get accomplished during mandatory minicamp? Tyler, what did we get on Twitter today?
From Duval Doom, he says, I'd like to see them all be the fastest and bestest players in the NFL. So a tall request there from Johnny Machiavelli. Jarrell says, I want to hear Gus Bradley say, we had great precision, hashtag steal the show. Cameron said Blake Bortles improving accuracy in the short and intermediate passing games. It'd be good to see from Blake, see if he's improved there. And Tony Aguilini said simply defend last year's minicamp championship.
A little sarcasm from Tony. Look, he always sends some kind of sarcastic remark to whatever our question of the day is. I'm not sure Mr. Aguilini's a believer yet. What the 2016 Jaguars,
you can't blame him,
be
though, right?
No, absolutely I certainly not, can't. No. And I can understand all the fans that are a little bit cynical about what's going on with this football team, even to the level of, look, we have Mike DiRocco on the program here earlier today, and Mike is very honest about how he feels about where the weakness of his team is on the offensive line, and I get the Twitter responses immediately from Duval Doom and a couple others saying that Mike is too negative, essentially, for this football team. And I get it. You know, there's a lot of fans out here that are very excited, but that doesn't mean this is a perfect football team yet. And there certainly are a lot of legitimate questions about what's going on with the 2016 Jaguars. Some of the other answers we got on Facebook today, as they just blew the three horns to announce the ending of practice. So hopefully, Telvin Smith coming over here in the next couple of minutes. From Garrett, I would like to hear that there are more instances of, quote, bright spots and flashes of pure athleticism and other ambiguous phrases because the media is not allowed to talk specifics. I'm being serious. It's been a long time since there's been genuine enthusiasm in the building. And I think, Garrett, there is genuine enthusiasm within the Jaguars organization. And we'll see if it works out.
Is something deflating out there by you? What's going on?
I have no idea. They're deflating what?
Tom Brady?
I have no idea. I have no idea where that noise is coming from. But I thought it was on your end, Tyler. Honestly, I did. I had no idea it was over here. But, they're lowering the tower. See? And it's causing even more of an issue. It blocked half of my vision, which it wasn't been doing in years past, and now it's just loud and annoying.
At least it's not the jackhammer.
The stupid tower. No, it's not the jackhammer. It's not close to the jackhammer. A couple more responses here from Derek. I want to see some lesser-known players flash. Love to see Ben pick up where he left off last year and Davis look natural. Hashtag preseason talking points from Cameron. I'd like to see them gain an understanding of each other's roles and build a nice sense of communication and comfort with all these new defensive starters. I'd imagine they need to get the feel in a totally new team, and that's no doubt they do. From Marshall, start installing for Green Bay. Let's use these next few months to start hard and fast. I guarantee you they're not installing anything for Green Bay, not at this point in time. And from David, find the five best offensive linemen, and I'm not sure that they're going to find the answers to that out here at a minicamp either. But they certainly are going to be working on some things out here. They're going to be working on getting some of these guys familiar with one another and where they're going to be on the football field, including a guy like Miles Jack, who's out here practicing, obviously, for the first time with his Jaguars team. It's a cool scene out here right now. It's the fans have kind of all cleared out of the bleachers with practice being done, and they're gathering around these fences hoping that somebody's going to get close enough that they can trick them into giving them an autograph or two coming off the football field here in the next couple of minutes. We're hopeful to be catching up with Telvin Smith here in the next couple minutes as practice is wrapping up. We were hopeful to catch up with Ryan O'Halloran today. But Ryan, when the practices are open to the public, the thing about O'Halloran is that he charts all these practices. So he's keeping track of, like, completions and attempts and rushing yards and all this different stuff for all these guys out here at a mini camp practice. But he does it all the way through training camp. And so if the team's doing an 11-on-11 or a 7-on-7 drill, Ryan would rather be out on the field watching it than having to sit over here and talk to me or talk to me and Mike. That's just the way O'Halloran is. And today when we asked him to come over here and join us, every time that he would have had an opportunity to, they were doing that. So he didn't get the chance to come over here and join us for a couple minutes, but hopefully we'll catch up with him tomorrow to talk about the debut of Miles Jack for this football team and exactly what that looked like. We do know he ran with the second team defense at the Mike position, which makes some sense, you know, trying to get him comfortable. And I think it makes a lot of sense, too, to teach him the defense and get him comfortable with the most complicated position on the defense so that you can ask him to do everything else in time. I do, Tyler, I'm going to have to figure out who I need to talk to about this.
Okay, what's up?
But I need to talk to somebody about what I need to do to get him out of the goofy number 44. It's a silly-looking linebacker number, honestly. It's just it's a silly-looking number. I'm not sure who I need to talk to about it. As I watch Sheldon Days walking by right now, he's having to carry a bunch of defensive linemen's helmets. That's kind of funny. They're having some fun with a rookie there as he walks by. So he doesn't even have time to say hey to the fans. He's just got to go as he's basically weightlifting on his way off the field here as they have wrapped up practice. Players coming by, signing some autographs right now. And, again, hopeful that in the next couple minutes we could sit down with Telvin Smith at least for a moment or two before he has to head out as we get ready to wrap things up here. But I do, Tyler, I need to talk to, I don't even know who it would be, about who's controlling these jersey numbers. I don't love 38 for Jalen Ramsey, but at least that's a defensive back's number.
And he tried to get 23. He actually made an effort to get something else. I think Miles is just content with 44, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't understand this. 44 is a ridiculous number. It's like, maybe it's cool in the idea that he's kind of a hybrid linebacker defensive back. So it's kind of a defensive back number, but it's halfway to a linebacker number. Does that make any sense to anybody out there? Maybe.
Not too sure, maybe. But as you said, the practice is wrapped up and coming up on Jaguars.com, and we'll have this audio on the show tomorrow, Miles Jack and Gus Bradley.
Yeah, not surprised they're putting Miles Jack over there to talk to everybody after practice today. Let's do this as we continue to wait on Telvin Smith to hopefully join us here before we get off the air this morning and wrap things up here on Jaguars today. Got a couple comments here from Gus Bradley talking about minicamp and getting ready for it. Gus was asked last week what fans should be watching for when they do come out for minicamp this week.
Hopefully this guy's making plays. You know, I feel like we have more playmakers on this team, both offensively and defensively. You'll see him put in positions to make more plays. So I think it'll be a fun deal now. I think it'll be enjoyable. We talked about, I think our team, under the rules of what we're under, it's hard to practice like we want to practice. But we're becoming an older, more veteran team where you're seeing not many guys on the ground. You're seeing guys hold off. You're seeing guys play the ball, not the man. You're doing things which allows us to do more situations, move the ball situations. So because of that, we're getting into those in minicamp. And we'll see how our team handles it. But I think that would be great for the fans to see.
Yeah, we want to see guys making plays, and hopefully they are making plays out there as the guys are laughing at me. Yeah, you guys just have to sign autographs. I'm still working. They still got me slaving away in here under this tent for at least for the next couple minutes. Can one of you guys go find Telvin? Tell him to get over here. Telvin, where you at, Telvin? As we say hey to some of the guys walking by, Brandon Linder signing autographs right by us. One more comment here from Gus Bradley talking about the expectations for Miles Jack at minicamp.
We've had opportunities to meet with him under the NFL rules, and so it'll be interesting to see how much he's picked up through those conversations we've had without getting reps. Listen, when you go out there and you do a move-the-ball situation, there's no better learning environment for our players. You can sit in the classroom. You can go through, walk through. That's huge. And when we check our bus, most of our bus come up in move-the-ball situations where the coaches are off the field. So that gives you a sign where we're at. We need to do more of that. Miles Jack hasn't been here for any of that. So, I mean, he's going to go through a little bit of a learning curve.
Yeah, situational football is going to be key. And that's one of the things we've talked about this week is the idea of this is a Jaguars team that has to get more comfortable with situational football, learn to dominate different plays, different situations. Third down was obviously an issue for this football team last year, so they're trying to find some of the answers on that side of the ball on third down, especially. I've said it before, this whole offseason to me has been about solving third down defensively for this football team with everything they've done from bringing in Tashaun Gibson and Malik Jackson and Jalen Ramsey in the first round, Miles Jack in the second round. This has been about trying to figure out how to affect opposing teams on third down because they've been so good for the last couple of years on first and second down that they need to be able to take advantage of the situations that they're putting themselves in. As things are wrapped up here for day one of Jaguars minicamp, I'm looking for Telvin. I just don't see him yet. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to grab him before we get done here or not. Trying to get in touch with some of the PR guys here for the Jaguars too. If we don't get him here, we'll definitely have a player on tomorrow. Hopefully we'll catch up with him here in the next couple minutes, and if we can't get it live, we'll have it on tape for tomorrow as well here on the show. Mike Dempsey will rejoin me tomorrow here on 1010XL for Jaguars Today. As
one and done for Mike, right?
Live.
One and done. He's coming in for one show, and then he's gone for, what, 2 weeks?
Oh, he's got two more shows in June, so enjoy him while you got him. If you're among the texters that in the last week have been texting to say how much you hate Mike Dempsey, well, enjoy this 2 weeks because he's pretty much going to be gone. And if you're one of those listeners who just hates the sound of my voice, then I'm sorry. It's not going to be a fun 2 weeks for you. I don't know what to do except apologize because this is what it's going to be. I'm what we got. I'm what we got here at 1010XL when Mike Dempsey isn't here to fill in on Jaguars Today. And I will do the best job I can. Hopefully we do catch up with Telvin Smith again. We may have to wait till tomorrow to get you that sound, but hopefully it's coming over here in the next couple of minutes. So for us here on Jaguars Today, for Tyler Devin, for myself, Fat Tony, for Mike Dempsey absent today, for Joe Fortunato, for everyone who helped us get on the air today, for the guy who kicked our power out at the smoothie place right next to us today.
You don't want
to thank
him.
That'll wrap it up for a Tuesday.
You.
Actually, hang on a second here. Telvin may be walking over now. So let's delay the goodbyes. Telvin is walking over the table, so we'll get him here. And then we'll welcome in the boys of the Midday Chalk as Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker Telvin Smith joining us here on the show. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes after practice, man.
No
How
problem.
You feeling?
I'm feeling good. A little sweaty, a little hot, but it's still solid.
Man, I'm sweating in the shade. you guys are out there in that full sunshine. I don't even know. Like, this is week three or four for you guys out there. Uh-huh. For you, what are OTAs about? What are the things that you're working on when you get out there on the field this time of year?
The big thing is fundamentals. I mean, obviously no hitting and stuff like that. So at the beginning of the season, it's a lot of missed tackles. If you notice the first couple preseason games, it's a lot of missed tackles. So right now is the time to get a lot of tracking going in and just a team camaraderie, getting everybody on the same page. This is a big part. And then going into camp, working on the same stuff, but you're putting on pads.
How difficult is it tackling, especially in today's NFL with the limited time that you have? I mean, this time of year, you're not going to be in pads at all. So like you said, you can work on technique with that kind of stuff, but you can't physically do it.
Right.
How difficult is it early in the year to get readjusted to the real physical part of this game?
You know, some people like that contact, and I'm one of them. So that's what I'd be looking forward to. And I think that's the thing that you have to get back used to, that some players have to get back used to, is a lot of banging and your body, you having to play with a sore body. Because right now, you sore from lifting and stuff, but it's a totally different type of sore from headaches and stuff like that. So you get out here right now, and it's easy, but it's a totally different ball game.
Yeah, I think Stallone, I saw once, he described that soreness you get from lifting weights as cool sore.
You know what I mean?
That's a cool sore. I don't know that playing football and getting banged around is a cool sore. It's just sore.
You feeling that hit. You feeling it.
A bunch of new faces for you guys on the defensive side of the ball. How have they been adjusting in front of you?
Malik has definitely fit right in. Came in on the D-line. Now, it's tough to see what he's going to be like because we don't have him on pass, but he's fitting in and understanding the playbook. And Gibb just over the top, he's going to be reckless over the top, man. He's going to be a big key for us. And now we just got to get the two rookies out there and get them going. Today, Miles looks solid. We just got to keep them going.
Can you feel the difference with Tashaun Gibson behind you, just that safety position?
You definitely can. A lot of those plays that we understand were made last year, they won't be made. And you could just see that out here right now. So I can't wait to see what we do when we get in pads in a live game.
Your first opportunity to get out there with Miles Jack, you mentioned it a moment ago. What did it feel like being out there on the field with him? How did he look?
I wasn't lined up next to him. But he looked solid. He still got to get used to this Florida heat a little bit. But
Dante's walking by. Everybody wants a piece of Dante.
You know what I mean? But that's solid. Hey, he's a top tier guy. So, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
For you, anybody else stood out in this part of the offseason on the defensive side of the ball?
One guy that I keep talking about is Sheldon Day, man. He's going to be solid, and I just can't wait to see what he do during the season.
I got a feeling you guys in the locker room are talking about Sheldon Day.
You don't have to talk about him. He speaks for himself on the field. And man, he's one of those rookies that come in and, you know, he don't talk much, but he do a lot of making up for it on the field, man. So he get a lot of respect without it being said.
Yeah, because I know Gus Bradley has singled out Sheldon. We talked to Dante earlier last week, and we were like, who's been standing out for you? He's like, Sheldon Day, that guy, right? And we aren't used to hearing rookies getting that kind of praise coming off the field for this football team, but it's kind of cool. I got the feeling that Sheldon's a guy that's getting a lot of attention.
He's definitely going to be somebody that you have to look out for. We're going to see what happens when we get the pass. In a live game.
For you, coming out of the 2015 season, you get voted into the top 100, which is a cool honor. First of all, just how does that feel?
Just honored. I just feel respected, but at the same time, know it's still work to be done. I was at 83, so that means a lot of guys out there that still they got ranked ahead of me, so a lot of more respect got to be earned.
How do you feel about your 2015 season?
It was solid, but last year, you know, I just feel like it was so much left out there on the table. I missed the last two games, and that's the only thing I could think of is the last two that I missed, not the plays that I made.
Sure. Any plans for the offseason for you? I mean, I know you got a bunch of stuff coming up. You're going to be in the pace car at the Coke Zero 4, which how'd you pull that off?
They actually reached out, and I jumped on it. You know, any opportunity you can get like that, I'm taking advantage of.
No doubt. And you got the football camp coming up in Valdosta. Is that this weekend
Saturday.
Or next week?
This Saturday, yeah.
So what's going on with that?
Just the camp. I'm trying to get everybody back home educated and get them on a different mindset, you know. Let them know there's a lot more to the world than just Valdosta, Georgia.
Sure. Finally, before we let you go here, what are you working on? You know, coming off the 2015 season, like you said, missed the last couple games, so you feel like you left some on the plate for yourself in the 2015 season. What are you working on? What kind of goals are you setting for yourself for 2016?
My biggest concern is fundamentals. Got to get my eyes right on a lot of times. When I look, get that out of here, man. Get that out of here, man. Just a second. So get my eyes right and just staying low. The better you can hold your technique, the longer you can hold your technique, the more plays you're going to make in the end. So it's going to be big for me.
And your third year here with this football team, the feeling this offseason compared to the previous two, does it compare?
It doesn't. Just because the attitude that the players have and just the whole surrounding cast have, man, it's definitely you feel something. We just got to put the work in and make it happen.
I can feel you and Dante. I got that Florida State
thing
going in the locker.
It's always going to be there, but he know what it is. I don't have to talk about that.
Dante's standing next to the table giving us the gator chomp. Telvin, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes
today. No problem.
Before we let you go, just a message for Jaguars fans out there right now listening.
You know, stay with us. You know, we definitely working right now, and it's going to happen. Y'all just be with us.
All right. That's Telvin Smith, Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker, coming off the practice field. Thank you, Telvin.
Yeah.
All right. There he goes. He'll be back with the ladies at Helmets and Heels tonight here on 1010XL, as I think he's going to talk a little smack with Dante right now next to the table before those guys take off. So that will do it for us officially here on Jaguars today. We'll welcome in the boys of Midday Chalk next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.